This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need.
Like it or not.
That's it, Callahan. You just got yourself a 60-day suspension.
Make it 90.
180, give me your star.
There's a 7-point suppository, Captain.
What did you say?
I said stick it in your ass.
Hey, man, when I was growing up, we went to jacuzzi, we had to fart in the tub.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
This is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio.
Episode Double Deuce.
Double Deuce.
22. Release date, December 7th, 2004.
Wow, and we're actually recording this one a little early just so it'll make sure we have it on time.
Yes, because Droops is on vacation.
Again. This
again.
All I do is go to my wife's fucking family's shit.
And,
Fuck.
Don't be depressed. We'll have we'll be doing it again on Skype next week.
Skype.
Oh. Anyway, what's been going on in your thing and stuff?
What's been going on in my thing and stuff? Well, I'm last time I was in Baton Rouge, I went to that really nice little computer store we talked about. And I purchased a little 7-inch black and white, or gray and black.
Which you went off of eBay?
No, I didn't buy it off of eBay. This is just a little 7-inch monitor that I bought.
Off of Computer Recycler, not Computer Recycler, computer, something other than that, little shop, mom and pop shop.
Yeah, Exchange.
Computer Exchange on Florida Boulevard, next to Sharp Road.
Yeah.
Like anybody gives a fuck.
Like anyone gives a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, I have an old luggable computer that, it's like I got a 8088 chip in it. Like, it's just an old piece of shit. It didn't work. I found it in a dumpster. Anyway, I put this new screen into it, and I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it, if I'm going to put, like, a mini ATX system into it. But then I thought of something really cool. I've got about 3 or 4 Linux boxes to the run. Yeah, it's 4, and 2 that I'm working on. And they're all going to be headless boxes, like I'm just going to SSH into them. And when you do this, you obviously have to have a monitor on them to do the install, just, you know, whatever.
Right.
And that's just a pain in the ass, having to hook all that up. So what I'm building now is I'm building a KDM switch into this old, really old, classic-looking computer. Like, I've got 2 5-and-a-quarter drives, and I'm going to put a tape drive in it. And the 2 5-and-a-quarter drives, I've got the little LEDs linked. Like, I unhooked them from the drive because they don't work. I mean, the drives don't work. And they're going to go in the back, and they're just going to blink at random, just kind of give it some little mood. And then that thing is going to be my KVM switch, and that's going to be my keyboard and my monitor so that I can monitor, you know, if I need to do anything on those 4 little boxes. And it's going to look really cool because it's going to look like a really old computer.
And is there going to be an Infonomicon TV about this?
There might be an Infonomicon TV about this. I got a new video camera. It's actually Mini DV. So
excellent. What's it? What is it?
It's just a little Sony Handycam thing.
You don't know the model number?
I don't know off the top of my head. It was little and pretty. My wife pretty much picked it out.
You let your wife pick out your hardware.
Oh, whatever. At least I have a wife that's hot. If anyone doesn't believe me, I have another website. Just search for my name on Google, And you can see pictures of my wife's clothes.
Or you could just hear about it on every episode.
I like to brag about the attractiveness of my wife.
You need to get that video on mini DV and record you two fucking.
I know. I'm needing to cover up that little light with a piece of electrical tape. It's been known to happen.
Anyway.
What have you been working on?
Just music right now. Doing the music thing.
I heard you made a song for Infonomicon.
Oh, yeah, okay. this has been depressing me over the last couple weeks. You know, we had an email a few weeks ago from one of our listeners named Ennui. Now, what's that?
Ennui?
Ennui. And I totally mispronounced it, and I feel really horrible about that. I felt so bad, I recorded a song dedicated to him.
Aww.
Now, in your mind, when you listen to this song, imagine me holding a boombox over my head, just like John Cusack, and Say Anything. Okay, we're going to go ahead and play the song. Tissues will be provided after the song.
Everybody that's upset.
Okay, and like this lyric saying in the song, I promise it will never happen again, Ennui. I do apologize about the mispronunciation of your name. And
yeah.
Besides that, I'm just doing a little work on my lab. Had some computer problems with my old 333, which I was recording the show with. And which was kind of getting networked into my systems, and so I decided to just go ahead and buy another computer online, which Droops kind of directed me to the seller, which is located in Baton Rouge. And I wanted to talk about this mainly because the website ccrc.com, I believe, and that's not going to be anything to everybody else out there, but the place is called Capital City Recycle Center. And basically what they do is they provide, like, recycle bins for businesses. And businesses drop out their old computers. There's crappy computers in these recycling bins and all the office equipment. There's recycling bins. They pick it up, and they resell them. Now, I mention this because that there might be one in your town. I didn't know about this till Droops told me about it. And Droops also...
Yes, I got my awesome TRS-80 there.
Yeah, so everybody get online and see if there's one in your town. Because I bought a I'm trying to remember the specs on that computer. It's only got a 6 gig hard drive. It's running like a 5 something megahertz. What is it?
550?
Something. It's something around that range. It's got 42. You know, what's that?
542.
Yeah. And it's got all the, like, you know, normal shit, like CD-ROM drive, which I'm going to replace with a burner. That's going to be my recording computer, which I record the show on Skype with. And when I bought, basically got it for $34. So everybody in your town, go check it out and see if you have one. Get really good deals there. It'd be a great Linux box.
Yeah, that's a really good deal for just a, you know, extra Linux box.
You know, it's always good to build your own computers, but... you know, if you can get one cheaper than what you can build it for, go for it.
And oh, yeah.
And at that price, you can use your Christmas money. A couple $100, you can get you like 4 or 5 systems. Put you a bunch of systems together, network them, and do some learning.
A little learnage.
Which I'm in the process of doing right now, trying to get a bunch of computers together and, of course, network them all together. And I'm having fun.
So what are you going to do with all these computers networked together? Just store porn?
Interesting concept, but no. I'm pretty much going to probably run a different operating system on each one.
Can I recommend one?
Sure, go ahead.
BIOS. I love fucking BIOS.
Go ahead with that. Go ahead and talk about that.
No, I just really love it. You can go download BIOS. You have to make your own ISO if you download the latest version, which came out like a year ago, and it was kind of leftovers. B was a company, like BE, and they broke away from Apple 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever. They made a thing called the B-Box, which pretty much ran on PowerPC architecture. But then they said, hey, why are we spending all this money developing PowerPC stuff? We'll just take an all IBM clone and make an operating system run on it. And they went bust. But they had some really, really, really cool stuff for it. Like Mozilla's ported over to it. Like, you know, you're not stuck with just random shit. And it's free right now. You can go download it. And it runs on old hardware really, really well. It's a nice, pretty graphical interface. My mom uses it just because she's not getting a virus at all with BIOS. Like, who the fuck is writing viruses for that?
So, for people that don't know, talk about it. Is it like, can you run it from a terminal? Or is it all GUI? Or is it...
No, it's a GUI. It's a straight GUI.
Okay.
It's kind of like old Macintosh-ish-esque.
Right.
It's really cool. Go check it out with your little extra $35 computer.
And, like I said, it's pretty compatible. Does it detect everything at startup, or...?
It's kind of iffy on network cards.
Right.
And it's like Linux, except you have to have, like, a real modem, not a little fucking crap Win modem.
Right.
But,
It's pretty so, basically, the older the hardware you have, the better?
Yeah, it does pretty good with all old hardware.
Cool.
And it's got some GL stuff, like, that comes installed with it, like little toys just kind of experiment and show off. And it's really, really, really cool on old hardware.
Cool. And one last thing I was going to tell you I've been working on. I'm
sorry that wasn't better. Like, I'll think of some more things and tell you later.
What have you installed it on?
I actually bought a really cheap e-machine, like, 4 years ago, maybe, 5 years ago.
Right.
And it ran on that for a long time. And it was like a 333, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like an extra computer sitting in the lab. Something to experiment around with. There's actually a book that you can get really, really cheap now. It was called the BIOS Bible. And it was written by a guy named Scott Hacker, who's really into Linux now. But I'll think of better things. I can't think of it off the cuff of my head when I've got so much caffeine and I'm pissed off.
And the last thing I'm working on right now is I just came recently into possession of like 4 NES systems. Just given
really?
To Yeah, just given to me.
Can I have a controller?
Like, the controller, like, why? I don't have, I only got 2 of those.
Okay, like, I want to put, I saw this little kit you buy, and you can pretty much just make a USB game joystick out of an old controller from NES.
No shit.
And I think that would be cool with my emulator and my shot computer.
No, I just got, like, possession of the boxes themselves.
Okay.
And I already have, like, 2. So, basically, I got 5 now. And I decided, I was looking at it. I think it would be a really cool idea to turn one into a computer.
I've seen that done.
You have?
Yes.
There's a project already like that? Or?
Yes, I've seen that somewhere on the Internet.
Cool. My main idea was, like, turn the, you know, where you put the cartridge in?
Mm-hmm.
Either into a CD-ROM drive or into a removable hard drive. Because, I don't know too many people with removable hard drives, but when I was in school, we had them. Basically, I'm sure most people have seen them. You know, where you basically one of your CD drive bays, you know, you basically put this hard drive into this removable bay thing. And you could take it out, plug it in. It's not like, not while it's running or anything, but basically when it's off, you just take it out, put another one in.
Yeah.
You've seen those before, right?
Yes.
Basically,
we had those at a place I got some certification training at.
Yeah. And you can turn it into one of those.
That'd be really cool.
And I'm thinking about using the small form factor. What's the form factor? This has all came out to me today, so I haven't done any planning, but they have these small motherboards.
Yeah, Mini ITX is the really, really, really small one that everyone's putting in stuff.
Right, and they have, like, they think they go up to, like, what,
and then Mini ATX, which is a little bigger.
Uh-huh. And they go up to,
like, they're cheaper.
They go up to, like, what, 1 gig? The processors?
Yeah.
They're, like, they're really fast.
Like, you can get, like, a little fanless computer. Like, I was looking at all this when I was looking at the truck computer stuff. You know, like, run it at 1 gig, then it'll fan. That's really cool.
Right. And the only problem I would think I would have is, like, I'm probably going to have to, like, start fucking with the plastic to get the serial ports in to come out the back. And since you're into building shit, do you know how you would go about, like, cutting holes into plastic?
I'll tell you how I do it, and it's how I've been doing it working on this old computer, and it's not the best way of doing it, but I take my Dremel and I kind of rough cut it.
Uh-huh.
With, like, just like the metal cutting little wheel.
Right.
And then I take the little sandpaper attachment. It's like it's kind of a wheel itself. It's got like a little rubber stopper that a round piece of sandpaper goes over.
Right.
And I take that and I smooth it down to the very, you know, to make it the way I like it. And then I take my knife and I scratch the little bit of roughness off.
Right.
And it's kind of a rigged up way of doing it, but it's quick.
That's
and most of us already have all that Dremel stuff.
Most of us.
Do you not have a Dremel?
Man, I don't even have an electric drill, which was a pain in the ass. I had to install a closet. Remember I told you about that?
Okay, I'm getting you a Dremel for Christmas.
No, I need an electric drill. I'm probably going to buy an electric drill come Christmas time.
I saw one at Walmart the other day. Like a portable drill, and it was $10. And I was like, that is a quality piece of tool right there.
No, I'm probably going to spend a little bit more than that on a drill.
Like, I have a really nice DeWalt one.
The yellow one?
I have a tip for everyone that if you ever want to buy tools, I started with a really shitty Black & Decker jigsaw and, like, a really shitty Black & Decker cordial drill that my parents bought for me at Walmart, and it is crap. Buy the most expensive tools that you can find, and it's like night and day. It's like writing on a chalkboard with a piece of chalk sucks, but having like a really, really good like gel pen is, you know, smooth on paper. It just feels good in your hand.
Speaking
the
of
more
that,
money you pay on a tool, the better it is, and it'll do, like, the tools are half the job. Like, you have to have skill to use them, but if you have shitty tools, no matter how much skill you have, you can't do what you want to do.
Speaking of drills, that you mentioned DeWalt. Actually, when I was working on, I don't know if I mentioned this before, I used to work for a company where I pretty much mass-produced computers, built them, like about 200 at a time.
Yeah.
And the drills we actually used were DeWalt.
I really like every DeWalt tool I've ever bought. I've been more than satisfied with. They have more horsepower or more power than like I can hold. And I'm a pretty fat fellow. And my wife and I were cutting some railroad timbers to go in our yard. We're doing some little landscaping. And I had a reciprocating saw, and I could not hold it. Like, it was stronger than me. Like, she had deception on it. Like, it was very, very powerful.
I don't know anything about, like, I installed everything from, like, you know, computer carts. You know, we used to build these large carts. But they come in pieces, and we, from a company, we built them to install laptops in.
Yeah.
And we built that. We built huge server racks. Now, I don't know anything about drills, but this fucking thing, we put this thing through the test.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop.
It doesn't. I think I've ruined one. And basically, I was putting all my weight into it. Like, you know, when you drill and it stops.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically telling you that you can't go any further.
Yeah.
I put my fucking weight into it to keep drilling, you know, to keep pushing, like turning like a regular screwdriver.
Yeah.
It still wouldn't do it. After like about a year and a half, it finally fucking broke. So those things, like, they go against the war.
If you go buy some DeWalt drill bits, like, I don't use them for my woodworking, because sometimes I want to drill a hole only a certain depth and not poke out the other side. And the way they build their drill bits, they're so aggressive, it's hard to stop them. Like, they go fucking through it until it doesn't go anymore.
Cool.
Like, they do a good job.
Speaking of tools, if you look at our stats page, which we look at religiously just to see what's going on.
Yeah, 8 people downloaded the show last month. It was awesome.
It's a little bit more than that. Somebody actually tried to get in our CGI bin.
I wonder who that was.
I don't know, but
the IP
worked,
has been logged.
You can do that, but there's nothing in there.
Now, they're not cool like Ben Rev, where there's, like, hidden stuff all over the site. But we might add some of that stuff to give people something to poke around in.
Yeah, since I've seen
if
somebody who was on...
Booty without some work keeping people from breaking his computer.
Yeah. Like, don't try to fuck up a website, because it's all backed up. Like, I got that thing, like, on CD-ROM. It's backed up, like, 1,000 times. And you're only fucking over Voodoo Hal.
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
And I'm pretty sure he has his shit backed up, too.
Yeah.
But just so you know, next time, there's nothing in the CGI bin. Nothing at all.
Yeah, you've seen our website. It's not the greatest in, like, fanciness, but it's very effective.
It's minimalist. It's minimalist.
Yeah, Office Kid wears nothing but black clothing, if you can't tell by looking at the website design.
This is true.
He's like the little man in black.
I'm like Johnny Cash, but not as cool. Hello, I'm Johnny's ass. Anyway, anything else going on?
I've been doing some geocaching, and not that anyone cares. I found a little travel bug the other day. And a travel bug is an item that you think is neat, and you put a little dog tag on it with a unique number that the geocaching people will sell you, and you put it in a cache. And when someone picks it up, they move it to another one, and then log it on the internet, and you can follow the trail. This is what you're paying the money for, so you can use their website to follow the trail of your little item. And people put goals on them, like, this one's to circumnavigate the world, or whatever. And the number on this one was... 31773. Is that it?
No, that's not
know.
It. Anyway, it's Leaf. And obviously, Droops is not.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't talk like that. But I recognize it. I'm like, hey, that's cool.
You're such a noob.
Shut up, noob.
Noob.
Hi, you ready to do the radio show?
Hello, noob.
Hi, start recording now.
Oh, we're recording? Anyway, actually, I guess we could go ahead and do it now. I just want to give some shouts out to some shows.
Oh, yeah.
The first one is the we've mentioned the Packet Snivers before, but they have a new episode 3.
I'm pirating some internet right now from the Wesley Foundation in Ruston, Louisiana, and I'm downloading the Packet Snivers very quickly.
And, Number 3 is excellent. They always put out excellent shows, of course, but Number 3 is excellent, and get another pimp out to them, which they're in our links section if you don't know what the website is and don't want to look at the show notes. It's under, like, I think it's under the section of people we like.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And that's on there. Another show, which I found out, which is pretty fucking funny, it's called Pure Ownage.
Yes, that's very, very funny.
Which is at pureownage.com, which is spelled weird, of course, because it's noobs. Anyway, you can find the website in our People Are We Like section, of course.
Mm-hmm. And the reason we're telling you this, even though 99% of y'all are like, we know about this stuff, is like, I saw this in RFA just randomly one day, like I found it. And RFA is, of course, Radio Freak America. It's at radiofreakamerica.com. I want to say, it's a site that used to be run by a guy named Dual Parallel. It's now run by a guy named Natus, who's a really good guy.
Oh,
and
Natus.
They used to have a radio show. Natus, that's it. They have a radio show. And from that, I learned about Ben Rev, which was just starting up. And from Ben Rev, I learned about other shows. There's a Default Radio. There's Lineman, whatever, line interference. What other shows are there?
There was the CCRP, I think it was called.
Yeah.
No, it was the CCP.
And there was a 9X show.
What's that?
And there was, of course, that 9X show.
Right, right, right.
And there's Uber Lito by Kizzle, who's an awesome guy, and we appreciate all the traffic you send us with your RSS feed and things like that over at HackerMedia.net.
Of course, which he had his own show at the time. And I was thinking about this. This is like off topic, then we'll get on to the news. I was thinking about, like, something like Kizzle's site, right? It has, you know, the shows that are, you know, tech shows that are going on in a little circle that's going on, right?
Yeah.
And I was noticing, like, I'm going on the net doing some searching because I've been sick for the last week and I took some time off of work. And, you know, basically sitting in my house, like, shitting and sweating and doing the getting rid of the sick thing. And there's a lot of internet radio shows out there.
Hell yeah.
Tons and tons of them.
Lots of stuff over at, where we, our show's hosted out of, what's up, radio station? Canada?
Rant Radio?
Rant Radio.
And there's a lot of TV shows out there. Well, the radio shows go back there. There's a lot of political ones. There's a lot of, like, off-topic ones, a lot of tech ones that no one knows about. Okay? There's also a lot of TV shows about random stuff. Okay? Some last a long time, some don't, but there's no, like, place...
I really like ones about sex. Where it's just two people fucking.
Oh, those are called porn.
Yeah, yeah. That's the word.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. But there's no place... The Hacker Media does a good job of doing, like, you know, what the, you know, what it's doing right now. Right?
Right.
Okay, and... There needs to be a place that kind of like, you know, like what Shoutcast does, where you can search for, make it more easier for people who want to get into listening to alternative media choices.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about that, and it's too much of a project for me to be starting up. I was just, you know, just throwing it out there.
I actually met some people at, I can't think of a damn thing today at Freaknik that we're working on starting up an internet radio station like that.
Kind of like a place where you can search for your for topics, what kind of shows you want to listen to, you know,
stuff
like
that. Yeah,
there really needs to be something like that because unless you, like, you know, for somebody just at home that doesn't know anything about Googling, you know, or doesn't know anything about, you know, searching for a specific show they want to, because you can spend like 20 minutes on Google trying to find a certain show or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no specific place for you to go to. So that's just an idea I came up with. That'd be, you know, a good project for somebody to start up.
Well, isn't that sweet?
Well, I'm that sweet kind of guy.
You are a sweet kind of guy.
In that special way.
In that special way that's unique to yourself.
Okay, then.
All right. So are we ready to do some articles? Are we done talking?
Oh, yeah, we're done blabbing.
All right. Well, I'm going to go first. Now, we're kind of changing the format a little bit where we're not reading the articles as much as we're talking about the articles because it kind of seems like it's just running long. And I'm sure if y'all listened to the last show, you thought so. Even though the articles that I read were really, really cool. And if you don't fucking think that, then you're a motherfucker. Anyway, cellular market. There's a bunch of companies. There's Singular. Now Singular and AT&T, whatever the fuck they call themselves. Cocksuckers. I guess that's the name of the company. There's Sprint. There's Verizon. All this shit. Well, there's a new one. And it's not just, you know, Jeff Rose cell phone service. ESPN is entering the cellular market. They're not just selling, you know, sports scores and shit. They're really, really entering the cell phone business, selling wireless subscriptions directly to sports fans under their own brand. Now, of course, I have no roots in the phone business, and this is the largest entry ever of a company that didn't have phone business. It's going to be called ESPN Mobile, and it's going to be traveling over the cellular network of Sprint Corporation, which is the third largest cellular carrier in the United States. And it's allowing, it's playing a critical role in allowing new competitors to enter the market by renting use of its network, which, you know, they win on that. And now this is a part of a broader planned entry by Walt Disney, who owns a majority of ESPN. And there's 172 million Americans that have a cell phone. And the market for mobile data on the screens, which is news headlines, web access, sports scores, email, music photos, all that good shit, is beginning to take off. Now, Disney has two distinct brands, of course, ESPN and Disney, that are going to be deployed in this wireless market. They're talking about several, with several carriers for a Disney-branded wireless service, which they're hoping to debut in 2005. And Nextel is one of the major contenders for that underlying service for Disney. And Nextel is the country's fifth largest cell phone operator. And Disney really likes the walkie-talkie feature for families, which is really kind of cool. Anyway, so ESPN's entering the market, and it's all Disney. And we can't blame it on Michael Eisner because we hate him, but he's not really the guy calling the shots anymore.
Yeah, didn't he leave?
Yeah. And I'm outside smoking again. So what do you think about ESPN entering the market and centering, not, you know, centering themselves on the phone business, but on the mobile data business?
Everybody seems to be doing this nowadays, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's getting their, you know, and does the MTV have a little hand in that also, like, you know, Viacom?
Yeah, I guess they do, don't they? Well, I'm a big user of PDAs. I have two. I love them. Neither one of them has internet access right now. Desire is going to pretty soon, just through Bluetooth with my new cell phone that I haven't bought yet because I don't have any money. And the Pocket PC is really old. And when I bought it, it was top of the line, but it was before they built Wi-Fi into these things. And I use Avant Go like a motherfucker, which is a program that goes to the internet, gets data off of websites, and stores it on the PDA every time I synchronize it. So I'm constantly carrying around information. I'm constantly reading sports scores and tech articles and looking at dirty pictures or whatever. And I think this is really awesome to be selling a service and centering phones more toward stuff like this where you can have data on your person that's being updated constantly. Like people have cell phones and PDAs are going the way of the dinosaur because cell phones are becoming more and more powerful. And it's just going to be a little computer that everyone gets to carry around with them, and I'm a gadget guy. I think it's really fucking cool.
Yeah, at least it puts it into one machine. You don't have to carry around a PDA and cell phone.
Yeah. I kind of like the two separate, but that's me, and that's not most people. And I understand most people just want one.
Right. And also, we forgot to read the email this week.
Oh, yeah. We have email, don't we?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read those. First one's from Pixel Theme.
I love Pixel Fiend.
We love us some Pixel Fiend. Anyway, it says, hey guys, long time no talk. Glad to hear the Thanksgiving show. I needed the diversion from my in-laws in town. We all do.
We all fucking do, dude.
Yeah. Just to follow up on one of the articles from the last show concerning TiVo. I was reading in Wire recently that TiVo will begin through an automatically downloaded patch, limiting the number of times you can watch specific recorded shows. Right now, it only applies to PBV, I think. But who knows where this will go? I had thought about getting
Fuck
a...
that.
What's that?
Fuck that.
Okay. I had thought about getting a TiVo, since anything running Linux in one form or another is okay in my book. And there are lots of cool hacks you can do. But after reading this, I'm more inclined than I was before to give Myth TV a try. It's a free open-source app that allows you to build your own PVR. Personally, oh, of course, if no one knows a PVR, that's personal video recorder, right?
That's right.
Okay. Personally, I think that if you're Linux savvy enough to run Myth TV, you should send the cash you are going to use to buy a TiVo to Myth TV's developers. I just might do that. Good show as always. Thanks.
Well, I don't have TV, so I don't really need one, but,
I think that's really shitty. It's kind of like, you know, when you're VCR, you didn't have to limit the number of times you record a show, watch the show once you recorded it.
That's right.
So why do it with, PVRs?
There'll be a hack around to this pretty soon, like it's not going to be.
And then people get sued, because I'm sure they randomly check the, bios on those things. Don't you think?
I hope not.
They will. It'll be one. And they'll have one that's hacked, so they'll turn it off. Then someone will come up with a hack that gets rid of that. it's fucked up. Anyway, everybody knew I was running a contest, right?
Yeah.
But no one entered. Just one person entered. Now, out of 30 questions, basically the thing had like 33 different clips.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got 30 of them right, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if there was more than one person, I wouldn't have gave it to the I would have gave it to the person who answered them all right, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was the only one who entered, so he wins the prize.
Well, that's cool.
And this guy is fucking cool, okay? Okay, this is the email he sent me. He said, "Howdy, thanks for letting me slide in, even though I only got a few answers wrong. Believe it or not, I haven't seen more than two or three of the movies in the list. I'm just a Google fiend, which is why I couldn't get one without words. I did manage to get the Walkman song, which is the ending song by a band called SSQ. The last song on the contest was a song called Walkman On." He said, I did manage to get the Walkman On song by using Kazaa. After finding countless other shit, I ran into one of the SSQ listening artists. After several searches and several search engines, I finally found out the story on SSQ. Now, the reason why I picked this song is because it's pretty much ungoogable.
Okay.
I try hours of trying to Google it. You can't. This guy found it through Kazaa. Just typing in some lyrics. Okay?
That's cool.
Okay, this next one is Suspiria. If you didn't know what Suspiria is, Suspiria is a horror movie. And I'm not going to go on into that, but basically the theme song is just kind of like a creepy tone to it, and it's kind of like, there's no lyrics to it, it's just like, la, 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 it's just really creepy shit. He's like, the Suspiria one drove me nuts. I searched every possible clue I could get from the song. I ended up finding several foreign sites that referred to the word goblin frequently when I searched for the phrase, la, 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 la. Witch. Because the word witch is in there. I slowly narrowed it down to a common element and eventually lucked out to hit the links to Suspiria. Now, that's fucking cool. This guy actually took time to do that.
That is really cool.
Okay. I'll have to listen again, but pretty much confident that the Mission Impossible theme song, he got that wrong. Actually, the Mission Impossible theme song that he listed was actually the theme song for Return of the Living Dead.
Okay.
I know that because you can't get that on any album. It wasn't on the soundtrack. Actually, I own the movie on DVD, so I just put it in my DVD and just push record on Adobe Audition. It's pretty confident the Mission Impossible theme song. I even downloaded the MP3 for comparison. The one thing I have confirmed, though, Google indexes pages with false information just as well as indexes with good reference material. He said,
mm-hmm.
Of course, he made some other things wrong, but... And like in the contest, I said you get a free DVD and T-shirt. This guy says he doesn't watch any movies hardly, so he's going to get two T-shirts.
That's really cool.
Which is cool by us. We're going to send them out to you as soon as we can. And as Pixel Feet knows, we're good on our word.
Eventually.
Yeah, the Duke sent us his address, and we will get their T-shirts out to you. So watch out for the contest. You know, we actually give shit out. We're not bullshitting.
Yeah. We really do good stuff.
And of course, Rebel Horn, who sends us articles really frequently, is going to be in the next article. And this one's actually pretty cool. Japanese robot to chat lonely elderly people out of being senile. You got to get a picture of this. This thing is fucking creepy as hell. Japan's growing elderly population from what will be buying companionship in a form of a 45-centimeter, which is 18 inches, robot programmed to provide just enough small talk to keep them from going senile. Snuggling.
That's really cool.
Snuggling Ifbot, I think that's how you pronounce it, I-F-B-O-T, who is dressed in an astronaut suit with a glowing face, has the conversation ability of a 5-year-old. The language level needed to stimulate the brains of senior citizens, its software designer said. If a person tells Snuggling Ifbot, "I'm bored today," the robot might respond, "Are you bored? What do you want to do?" To a statement, "Is it nice today? Isn't it nice today?" the robot could say, "It's a fine autumn day," by detecting the season from its internal clock. This is a quote. This robot has in its memory several million patterns and word phrases that it uses when spoken to, says some Japanese name I can't pronounce, senior executive at Dream Supply, a Japan-based IT firm which developed the product's software. By talking with this robot, seniors who are often alone can stimulate their brains and avoid being forgetful. The company has received 128 pre-launch orders for the robot, which will hit stores Wednesday at a cost of 576,000 yen, which is $5,600.
Hmm.
Now, that's crazy.
Well, old people are shitty to talk to.
Well, think about this. Who is going to purchase this for the old people?
Rich people that don't talk to their parents.
Exactly. Basically, you'd be buying your grandpa a fucking senile bot, basically saying, "Since I don't visit you, and I don't care to visit your old ass, and I don't really want to wipe it, here's a robot to talk to you, because I don't give a shit." It's a sad... I'm not putting down on this thing, because I think it's really fucking cool. It's actually pushing forward the AI of robots.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. It's just the thought of it. It's just creepy, you know? It's, I don't give a shit about you, so here's a fucking robot. This is what it's come to. It's great.
Well, that's kind of cool. Like, what if it's a whole person that doesn't have anybody? Like, has no family to talk to?
Right, like I said, I'm not saying anything against the actual robot itself. It's just,
like, my mom's old and she's lonely. I got her a dog and she talks to it a lot. Just some companionship.
She don't listen to the show, does she?
Mama called me to be honest. She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Okay, you got anything else?
Rock and roll, Coochie Coo. Yes, digital cameras, do you have one?
No.
Okay, this is going to be a really easy question anyway. What is the main cool thing about a digital camera in your mind?
No processing, automatically saved, and you can upload it to your computer.
Yeah, so you don't have to pay to develop pictures.
Even though they're higher quality.
So instead of taking, you know, one picture and hoping it's good because it costs so much to put them out, you can take like 40 pictures and only like one of them.
Right?
Well, this is awesome. This is the thing that they push digital cameras. It's why I really like digital photography. But big companies are getting kind of upset about this because while they're pushing their digital cameras like HP and Kodak and this, that, and the other, people aren't paying to develop the pictures. One of the things that's prohibitive about this is the cost of the pictures. Like, it costs about 60 cents, I've read, to develop a digital picture at your house. Like, just, you know, print it out by the ink, by the nice paper, by the good equipment to do it.
Right.
And 60 cents is a lot of money to pay to print out one picture, considering HP paid, you know, a fucking penny for the ink in that goddamn cartridge.
Right.
Anyway, so now they're having to rethink their strategy, and I'm sure you all have seen these little pop-up things, not pop-up things, but these little boxes have been popping up in stores where you just put your little memory card in there, it'll put them on a CD, it'll print them out for a nominal fee. Now, I've seen them as low as like 24 cents, I've seen them 50 cents, and, you know, 24 cents isn't bad to pay to go to a store to do it, if you're going to be paying, you know, 60 cents at your house to do it on your own stuff, And this way you don't have to upkeep your stuff. Like, you don't have to keep the latest and greatest, because the little Kodak picture booth is going to do that for you.
And plus, you don't have to pay for the printer, the good printer, to print out the good pictures.
Yeah. Now, this, of course, is something that was jumped on by the digital camera bandwagon, you know, just saving the pictures, not having to print them off. And when they do have to print them off, trying to find the cheapest place to do such things. Americans are expected to take a collective of 21.7 billion digital images this year, but only print about 7 billion. And the hard copies. Now, a hard copy is a piece of crap. I like the digital format myself. Unless you want to print out a picture to put it in like a photo album or some crap like that. With us not printing out things, these big companies are taking note. HP is coming out with new printers where it's going to cost like 29 cents to print them at your home, which is a lot cheaper than 60 cents. Epson's coming out with new stuff. Canon's coming out with new stuff. So if you're looking to buy a printer for Christmas, wait a little bit, and maybe you can get a printer that uses the new cheap ink. For Christmas, they're pushing little package deals where it saves you some money, or they'll package a printer and a camera together. But that's just a lot of crap. Wait a little while before you buy a printer, and it'll be a lot cheaper for you to buy your ink.
And
like, I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but ink is really, really super fucking expensive. Like, if you buy a $100 bottle of wine, the liquid in that bottle of $100 wine is still cheaper than the liquid in the ink cartridge in your fucking printer.
Yep, that's true. And actually,
like, if you ever bought a magazine,
I went
like,
to
there's
go
a lot
buy
of fucking
a,
ink that goes I, into a magazine.
I went to go buy a cartridge 2 days ago, and my takes a HP 40, which is retail about $34.
Yeah.
And I bought it at Office Max. So, and I'm like, $34, fuck, I need it, right? Gotta buy it. And while I was dreading on buying it, I looked over to the side, and Office Max has its own brand where it recycles the HP, well, a lot of other brand names too, but it recycles it and puts it out.
Oh, that's cool.
And I paid, I think, $29. I saved $5, but you still save $5.
Yeah.
And what it does, it comes with a little baggie for you to put your old cartridge in, and you mail it off. So it's the whole
that's
recycling
cool.
thing.
I'm all about some recycling.
And so save $5, help somebody else out too, and do that. And didn't they just win a lawsuit or something happen where they can start putting out generic brands of ink?
I believe that they can now.
So I'm waiting for that, you know, which is going to make the market competitive, which will bring ink prices way down.
They're going to put a chip in the HP cartridges so that you won't be able to copy that chip because it's got fucking secret code on it, you know? That's what they're going to fucking do.
Well, they'll do that, but you can still go buy the ink refill kits, which I've never done. I need to go do it. I've just been too, I'll forget about it. But I'm really, really considering buying, if anybody else has any experience with that, buying it, you know, refilling your own ink, tell mm-hmm. you know, write us and tell us about it, because I'm really curious.
And type of printer.
I'm really curious how or that process works, how messy it is, and actually how effective it is.
All right.
So, I found this book recently. Don't you have a Google hacking book?
I don't have the Google hack. I have the Nopix hack that I just bought the other day.
Okay. And I found this book. It's coming out this month, which I think it's already out. I'm not too sure. It's released by the gods of technical books, O'Reilly.
O'Reilly.
Anyway,
I'm drinking a lot of coffee right now, just in case anybody knows.
This book is called Google Hacking for Google Hacking for Penetration Testers.
Ooh.
Exactly. That was my first sound I made. It's $44.95 retail, and this is the description of it. Google Hacking for Penetration Testers explores the explosive growth of a technique known as Google hacking. This simple tool can be bent by hackers This is there. I don't even know why O'Reilly does this, but that's the term they use. The hackers and those with the malicious intents to find hidden information, break into sites, mm-hmm. and access supposedly secure information. Browsing the techniques pioneered by malicious Google hackers. This book aims to show security practitioners how to properly protect clients from this often overlooked and dangerous form of information leakage.
I was just reading a thing on Slashdot. They were talking about something similar to this.
Well, there was a company. Now, I'm talking about this out of my head because I had an article for last week, but I didn't get a chance to read it. But there's a porn company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Out there. And...
Oh, that whiny bitch.
Supposedly, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Supposedly, there's a bunch of other people, like other websites that copied... I guess signed onto their site, stole some pics, and had it on their site for free.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's indexed by Google, because Google indexes everything unless you have a robots.txt file. And mm-hmm. so the original company who was selling the pictures, you know, for a subscription, is suing Google now because of this. Instead of suing the people that copied it originally and giving it away for free.
Well, the people that copy the original don't have any money. You don't sue poor people.
But still, that's not the point. The point is going after an innocent person, Google. Google, all it does is indexes. And Google shows,
yeah.
and Google has ways for them not to index your page.
Mm-hmm.
It's a robotized text file, and any webmaster worth his grain of fucking nutsack would know how to make one.
Even I know that.
It's simple
thanks,
as hell.
Thanks, Iggy.
All it is a simple file. There's no, like, learning curve to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good book, actually. It looks like it goes into, like, you know, those Google hacking tips and takes it a step further.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to look into that one.
So, anybody looking for Christmas books, go pick that up.
Just like I'm looking for Christmas books. Buy me some books. Send them to me. Just send them to Droops. I live in Mississippi. That's all you need to know.
All you got to do is put Droops, Mississippi.
Tell them to look for the electricity.
And they'll know. The post office will be like, Droops in Mississippi? Okay.
Send it on horseback to me, baby. I live in a real shitty place. Speaking of real shitty places and real shitty things, not that we really were, but I'm going to segue into that. This was an article, and I don't know why I'm really reading it, other than it was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, which is where I get all my articles from, as most listeners know. And it had a picture of Mr. J.R. Ecclesfini. That's his fucking name now. He's a big mole. Anyway.
Who?
Mr. J. Ecclesfini, whatever. Anyway, it talks about on October 6, 2003, which is old news. Most of you probably know about this. There was an electronic attack that overwhelmed the website of weakknees.com. They sell digital video recorders. Several weeks later, it was still going on. They couldn't get their email. Customers couldn't look at their website. And according to this retailer, they suffered $200,000 in lost sales and cost fixing the system. Now, of course, the American government law enforcement guys step in to investigate this electronic assault. And it wasn't masterminded by this writer's own words. A typical hacker motivated by the thrill of the crime. No. This attack on weak knees appeared to be the work of a new breed of cyber mercenaries who are paid to unleash viruses. This J.R. Ecclesfini, 30-year-old fucker from Massachusetts, tried to do some business with weak knees, and they were like, we don't want you. We're doing good by our own. And he got a little pissed about this. So he hired some fella. Let's see, who did he hire? Paul G. Ashley. He owns a Palo... Excuse me. I'm telling you the wrong thing. Yeah. He hired Paul G. Ashley, who's the owner of a Powell, Ohio company, and according to their indictment, Mr. Ashley's company rented out large computers that run websites. Mr. Ecofini said that some competitors were bothering him and asked Mr. Ashley to attack their websites, according to the indictment complaint. Now, if I don't like you, and I go hire some goon to whoop your ass, or to go throw a brick through your store window, you know, that's normal crime. He did the same thing, but instead he used computers. And so now, instead of just some dude throwing a brick in the window, it's a hacker. Anyway, some other companies pissed him off, too. Rapid Satellite, which is in Miami, maybe he didn't like them either. And he sent a guy, Mr. Lee G. Walker, who lived in the U.K. Now, Mr. Walker used a weapon of choice, which was a piece of malicious computer code known as a bot virus. Now, a bot virus is pretty much a bunch of computers that are zombies or hijacked, and one guy can send them off and fuck with something. And it's really hard to track these things down, kind of, because it's, you know, 1,000 computers from random places around the Internet that are doing this. So pretty much, he had some guys denial of service and people, and they used words like, you know, cyber mercenary and hacker, and it's like a little kid fucking crap. And this author really isn't that clever. He wrote, traditionally, computer hackers had invented viruses primarily for the sake of bragging rights, but now hackers are mixing with fraudsters and organized crime rings, law enforcement officials say. Increasingly, viruses are being used illegally for financial gain. They're becoming part of the modern criminal's toolbox, which is true. You know, criminals use the latest and greatest in tools, but just because you commit a crime with a computer doesn't make you a hacker. It makes you a criminal.
Yeah, we've talked about this over and over again. Of course, that's what it is. And
I know, but it's
really
the front page of the paper.
That's really petty.
And this is, like, really petty crap.
What's his charges? What is he getting charged with? Or does it say what his punishment's going to be?
Yeah. They haven't figured out what the punishment is. But this guy's, you know, got, like, $1 million worth of damage that he's done to some websites with his denial of service. Anyway, if you pick up one of the names, which I haven't read yet, actually, Mr. Axel Grenby, he bought a bot network from this guy out of Germany, and Mr. Grenby is the guy that stole Half-Life and released parts of it on the Internet.
Oh, him again.
Yeah, like, these guys are just, they're criminals. And, like, I don't see why this is, like, front-page newsworthy material. Like, this is just some little bitches acting like little fucking bitches. You know?
Pathetic.
It's pathetic. And now everyone has heard more shit about this pathetic nuisance. It's your turn, champ.
You know how much we love the U.S. Army?
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! Anyway... Next year, the U.S. Army will give robot machine guns, although humans will be firmly be in control of them.
I have a good story about this. Go ahead.
The Army next March will begin to deploy Talon robots from, what is that, Waltham, Massachusetts? Base Foster Miller. The robots will be mounted on M240 and M249 machine guns, said a Foster Miller spokesperson. The units also can be mounted with a rocket launcher. Defense agencies have been testing an armed version of the Talon since 2003. Putting machine guns on robot vehicles is a natural evolution of technology, which is being adopted to increase risk to personnel in the field, the company said. Several robots, including the Talon and the PackBot from iRobot, have been used to conduct surveillance missions such as taking pictures inside the caves of Tora Bora, Afghanistan, during the conflict. Other robots have been mounted with disruptors, guns that disable bombs and mines. A robot coming out next year from John Deere. And iRobot would ferry supplies to and from the front, navigating his travels with little human input. A robot vehicle with a machine gun will be essentially enable soldiers to stay in safe area while attacking an enemy. So imagine you're in a bunker, right?
You're just hanging out.
You're hiding out in a bunker, right? And all of a sudden, you hear a noise. And the phone becomes fun. This fucking, like, you know, 5-inch high or 5 or 10-inch high fucking little thing of rollers with a fucking M16.
That's fucking cool.
It is, man. That is too fucking cool.
Well, we've been using robots in combat for a long time. You know, like drone aircraft to fly over and do reconnaissance. You don't have to, you know, if a drone gets shot down, you're out a couple $100,000 or whatever.
Right.
But you're not acting like a combat jet and a guy.
Right.
I have a friend who's older than I am, but he served in Desert Storm, the original Iraqi war.
Right.
And he flew for the Navy a drone reconnaissance aircraft. And he's flying this thing, and they see some soldiers standing around. There's like 15, 16 people standing around. And so he flew the thing, and they saw it, and they thought it was a real American jet, and they surrendered to it.
No shit.
Like, laid down their weapons. You know, he's 100 miles away on some, you know, fucking ship. And they just flew circles until real soldiers could get there and, you know, capture these guys. But, like, he, you know, 100 miles away, and he had people surrendering to him. He didn't see daylight, you know, except through his little computer screen. Surrendering to his ass. They're like, no shoot us.
All hell. All hell our might.
I think that's awesome. Less people fighting, that's great.
Yeah. Don't fuck with the eagle, maybe.
Don't fuck with the eagle, baby.
Anyway.
All right, well, I finished downloading the show, and now I'm doing a little war driving and recording the show at the same time.
Aren't
so if you hear my computer beeping, that's me finding wireless network.
Aren't you leet?
I'm so not leet. Is it my turn to do an article?
Yeah,
yes, it
ahead.
Is.
Go ahead, man.
All right, MP3 players. Topic I like to talk about. Well, they've got some new ones out there. And I'm not talking geek-friendly. I'm not talking anything. I'm talking cuddly MP3 players. As in, like, a Garfield that you squeeze the feet to control the song.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
$90, you can get a Garfield. Got buttons on his legs to control the music and headphones to plug in his back.
What's the specs on those?
Well, the Garfield has 128 megabytes of RAM, because these cheap, they're cheap. They're less than $100 for most of these, and they're using flashcards. And flashcards are
for kids,
another wireless network. Huh?
They're for kids?
For kids, like, I think right now Japan's having, like, a big Garfield craze, and so that's one of the reasons they did the Garfield.
About 20 years too late, right?
About 20 years too late. Let me pull over so I don't have a wreck.
Live wreckage.
We don't want to wreck during the show. Okay. There's a place in Sweden called Jens. They make MP3 players. They're about to sell online a $1,100 music playing necklace plated in 24 karat gold.
Okay, that's good.
And
they
have one gig of music, or about 200 songs, and it connects with their headphones. It's a luxury item, says Jens of Sweden founder Jens Nylander, who says he's trying to reach music lovers who crave products that are more exotic than functional. Means I'm trying to reach people with lots of money.
That's what I want.
With limited work.
Which is totally the opposite
of
us.
Gadgets.co.uk, which is a British online retailer, hence the .co.uk, features more affordable disco music player. It's a pocket-sized pendant that comes in black, white, or pink, and holds 128 megabytes of music. It cautiously states on the site that the player, which sells for $115, is probably the world's smallest and lightest. Probably. They're not real sure.
There's no lucky benchmark yet.
Yeah. Of course, we've all heard about the Oakley Thump, which are the really expensive sunglasses.
Right.
That have the music player in there, which can cost up to almost $500. You know, an iPod costs that much.
Right.
and it holds more than, you know, 256. And they're also making underwater ones. There's a company called Finnis Incorporated, and they're making underwater MP3 players for swimmers.
Because when I'm in sea dive gear and I'm looking for coral reefs, I want to be listening.
It'll scare the fish.
I want to be listening to the new Infonomicon.
It's using a bone conduction technology, so pretty much it's playing it on your cheek and it's echoing through your face.
Right.
That's going to be like $250. All these things have limited capacity. I don't know why anyone would buy an MP3 player that only had like 128 megs of RAM. Like,
well, you can only stay underwater so long.
Yeah. Like, if you're looking for some shitty, you know, MP3 player like that, go buy yourself a little cheap Palm and a flash card for the same amount of fucking money, and then you have a computer and a flash card that does more than just play music.
Or you can just go to Walmart, buy an MP3 player.
Or you buy a CD player.
CD player that has MP3 capability, and burn your CDs to songs to a CD.
Yeah, you can get those things for like $20-$30.
Right.
You know, and that holds more than these little fancy gadget crap. Or just get my iPod. Don't be a cheap bastard. All right, champ.
Speaking of being a cheap bastard, cell phone hangs up on drunken dialers. Ever woken up one morning with a raging hangover that was promptly worsened by a memory of the drunken cell phone call to an ex at 3 in the morning?
Hell yeah.
Fucking right.
For the guys that you hugged for no reason that you didn't know.
I didn't even need to be drunk to do that. If the memory is not painful enough, the aftermath potentially involving apologies, restraint orders, and a friendly visit from the ex-wife's new partner, and sundry other humiliations, adds to the agony. Amid the fury of clapped palms, bundling and discounting cares, what the fuck is all this bullshit metaphor? Anyway, a survey of 409 people by Virgin Mobile, a joint venture of the Virgin Mobile Group, and Optus, O-P-T-U-S, found 90% made drunken phone calls. Of those calls, 30% were to ex-partners, 90% to current partners, and 36% to other people, including their bosses.
Ooh, never called the boss drunk.
The company said that beginning Wednesday, Virgin Mobile customers could dial 333 plus a phone number they don't want to call when drunk. Virgin Mobile would, for a 25-cent fee, stop all calls to that number by blacklisting until 6 a.m. the following day. The move comes amid a price war between mobile players to secure customers, exemplified Tuesday by a flurry of announcements. Virgin is launching a new $35 monthly cap that includes up to $155 worth of mobile services, while rival Vodafone also launched a new $38 cap that would allow customers to use up to about $178 worth of services. For its part, Optus touted as a service allowing its customers to call overseas from their mobiles for the low cost of a local call. So basically,
that's awesome.
That's awesome, but basically you're paying for dumb shit.
Yeah, you could take that dude's phone and, like, if he needs a ride, you just call his house and then have it blacklisted. So he says, fuck.
This is, I don't know, it just seems like the kind of person that people will be using this are, like, really stupid females that have, like, 10 credit cards but can't pay for them. You know, you ever meet people with, like, these really crazy cell phone bills and they don't know how they got the crazy. Like, I know this chick, and, like, she has a cell phone bill that's, like, $150 a month, but her plan's only for, like, 50. I'm like, how does it get so high?
Jesus.
But she don't know. It's because little shit like this, you know, she's like, oh, well, I'll get this ringtone, and then you'll say to yourself that, you know, I'm going to call this person for like an hour and a half at 3 p.m. during the day, you know, but, you know, you keep calling like for like hours on end during the daytime, and then you'll get dumb plans that doesn't give you like free nights and weekends and talk all during the night. Are people who send text messages? I'm going to tell you one thing before we get started. I hate fucking text messages. I fucking just
I'm going to start sending you text messages, you little bitch.
Go ahead and send your heart get tickets. I'll fucking block the number. I hate fucking selling. I hate, because what's the point of it when you can just call me up? You know how long it takes to write a text message for long ones? I have people sending me long ones, like about three paragraphs worth. And I'm like, why don't you just...
I had an argument with my wife before we got married, and we carried the whole argument out over text messaging.
That's gay.
Talk about irritating like a motherfucker. She wouldn't answer the phone.
And I'm like, I call this person up, and they're like, did you get my text message? I'm like, why don't you just fucking call me? We could have had this conversation over in 2 minutes.
Oh,
he's like, well, I was in class. I'm like, why the... You're failing. Why the fuck are you fucking text messaging me then? Oh, I hate fucking text messaging.
If anyone needs Obfuscated's phone number to send us some text messages, you just give me a holler, and I'll post it right over to you.
Yeah, I'll have like 5,000 text messages tomorrow.
Or just send them to me. I don't give a shit. You can find my phone number.
Or you can just email obfuscated@infonomicon.org and get those.
Yeah.
Phone numbers.
Phone numbers, baby. All right. Let me pull over here because I'm still war driving. I don't know why I'm war driving and doing a radio show because, like, I'm going to kill myself.
You found any
I'm
residential?
Not really coordinated. Yeah, residential. I'm going through business. A lot of my lockdown. It's a college town. It's, you know, there should be enough nerds around here to tell them that.
No one's locked down? No one's locked down?
Well, some of them are. Most are not.
But if you try hard enough, they probably all default anyway.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Like, Linksys, Netgear. Ooh, Potluck. That's really interesting. That's a restaurant downtown that I know who set that network up. And I hate his ass. I fucking hate him. That's cool. I'm going to fuck with that. I'm such a bad kid. Anyway, talking about billable minutes on cell phones, there's a new technology. Watertown, Massachusetts, there's Watertown Taxi, and they have a service called Mobile Line, which is provided by VAY USA out of Boston, which allows passengers to pay for the ride by dialing a number on their cell phone, pressing a couple of buttons, and then giving the cab driver the last four digits of their phone number as they leave. Then the technology will bill it to their phone, and they get to ride home. I think that's really, really cool. Now, parts of Europe, of course, and Asia, consumers can already do this. Like, they can buy a soda from a vending machine, they can pay for lunch in the office cafeteria, they can play video games at the arcade, all through their cell phone, just, you know, billing it to that. They dial a number listed on the machine, and it sends a text message to that number using the phone keypad. The cost of the soda, the game, or other item is added to the customer's telephone bill.
Another thing to add on to a telephone bill.
Well, your telephone's becoming, you know, your personal computer. This is kind of cool. You know, it's just going to be used like a credit card. Vibrotech, a closely held company in Santa Clara, California, has developed software that can be installed in cell phones to handle payments by debit or credit cards designated by the user. This is, of course, requiring a special device on the phone and a special device at the checkout. But when these cell phones have a little technology like a near-field communication thing, which will use radio waves in a special frequency to send data over the space of a few inches, you'll just be able to swipe your phone at, you know, the grocery store to pay for your chips and Tostitos pizzas.
Right.
Now, MasterCard International ran a pilot program for various cardless payment options. Payment by phone was the most popular choice. The test people used Nokia telephones with Vibro technology and allowed users in Dallas to pay for gas, snacks, and other goods by waving their cell phone over a reader. That's really, really fucking cool. Motorola's working on something. And the quote at the end was kind of silly. It says, the beauty is that there's no need to carry all your credit cards or reach into your purse to look for your credit card. It's new, it's fashionable, and it's different. Well, you got to look for your phone.
Well, there's a lot of safety issues with this. Actually, way more safety issues than you had with a credit card.
Have you ever lost a credit card?
No.
You ever lost your cell phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had mine stolen from me.
Oh, Jesus.
See, the thing about it is, it's so much easier to steal someone's cell phone than it is their credit card.
Yeah, and now you can make long-distance phone calls and get sued while you're doing it.
Especially if you're a guy. If you're a guy, you carry your wallet in your pocket, you know?
Yeah.
Well, for a safety tip to everybody, carry your wallet in your front pocket and not in your back pocket. Because it's harder to pickpocket you if it's in your front pocket.
Yeah.
That's why I always carry my wallet in my front pocket. Anyway.
Well, I got one of those big redneck wallets that hangs out of my pocket.
Oh, geez.
And, like, that's fine hanging around, like, where I live in Mississippi or, like, this little shitty town I'm in. If I go to, like, New Orleans, I put my cash and my ID in my front pocket with my hand on top of it.
Right.
Like, there's no wallet. I used to carry, like, a little shitty wallet in my back just in case I got robbed. I could give them that,
uh-huh.
And they wouldn't get anything.
Well, anyway, yeah, there's a lot of safety concerns with this. I think it's cool that advance in technologies, but I would never buy one.
Well, it's going to come standard.
Yeah, but, of course, people are still using checks.
I still use checks like a motherfucker.
They're so stupid. To pay your bill, yeah, do you actually go to a grocery store and pay with a check?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't have a debit card.
Why not?
Because I'm not good with money. My wife will let me have one, if you want the truth of the matter.
Anyway, if you're still using checks, stop it. It's annoying. And most people can't put the right thing on a check anyway.
I like to make people wait while I write out the check. I'm like, what's the date?
It's annoying, like, if you work for the service industry and someone puts the wrong company on the goddamn check.
And you gotta get their driver's license number and write it on there.
Right, it's annoying, it's stupid. It's just use your damn debit card. Don't write checks. Checks are for noobs.
In troops.
Noobs. Anyway, noobs. Our last article is going to be this, which is depressing. It's a heads up for everybody. Japan sentences web film pirate. A businessman has been sentenced to 1 year in jail in Japan for making a pirated film available on the internet. Some Japanese name I can't pronounce, he's 42 years old, was arrested in November 2003 for distributing the Oscar award-winning film A Beautiful Mind via an internet peer-to-peer network. What a shitty film to be distributing.
Yeah, if you're getting caught for doing bad things, it shouldn't be for that.
Yeah. The district court of Japan, of course, somewhere in Japan, suspended his sentence for 3 years. Mike Ellis of the Motion Picture Association of America said that the ruling represented a judicial milestone not only in Japan but globally. That sounds like war speech. It sends a message that illegally distributing copyrighted material via the internet is not only illegal, but also that those doing it are not anonymous and will be caught. People need to understand that they are breaking the law and face serious consequences if they are legally swapping movies online. This is coming to a jail cell and a butt-fucking near you.
Jesus.
So beware at what you're doing.
Yes, be very careful of what you're doing. Mr. I got caught pirating movies on the internet. Didn't you do that?
No, it was a television show. Number one. Number two, I don't do that anymore. And number three, I found a more efficient way to do it.
And what's the new official way?
Let's just say there are services. Oh, fuck it. I'm using another service. But you can go to Blockbuster, get a DVD, rip it on your computer, and watch it. You could do that, but I don't use Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Okay. Now onto the list of the week. The first, of course, is the site of the week, which I'm going to name the CCRC, which is my local recycling center for computers and stuff like that, which stands for Capital City Recycling Center. which, of course, is the capital city. I live in Baton Rouge, is the capital of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to go check out their local states to see if there's a recycling center, and you could pick up cheap shit.
Cheap shit.
Right.
Yes, and that is awesome. It's also recycling. It's good for the environment. For all you little fucking faggots out there. And I think it's cool.
And the word of the week, which is actually blog. And I'm going to tell you why, because I was reading an article where I think it was Webster's Dictionary Online said like the most searched term was blog.
This year?
Yeah, this year. I thought it was pretty interesting. Everybody's searching the word blog. And so that's the word of the week, even though everybody knows what those are. What blogs are. And, of course, the quote of the week.
Quote of the week.
It's from Erica Jong. And this is pretty much, I like this quote. It says, advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer, but we wish we didn't.
That's pretty good.
So think about that next time you get advice from somebody.
Okay.
And what's our cunt of the week? Who's our cunt of the week?
Cunt of the week. Who do we decide? We had several contenders.
I'm going to let you get this one.
I know the one guy, like the TV guy. Who's the other one that we wanted to cunt of the week?
That's it. That's my suggestion.
Okay, I don't know if we should do that guy.
What's that?
I don't know if we should do that guy.
Our cunt of the week is Kevin Rose.
Oh, all right. Kevin Rose is cunt of the week.
And why is he cunt of the week?
Because he's just a faggot, bastard, fucker. I hate him. I hate him. I wish I had his job. Because I need a job.
Because he likes to, takes people's ideas.
Yeah.
And he had a situation with, what was it, Asterix he had a situation with, or?
No, Acidus.
Yeah, but what was
the... Asterix.
Well, I know that, but what was the
Magstripe thing.
Magstripe, right.
And the little gloves the guy had, with like a little capacitor in it that shocked you.
Right.
Like, he claimed those stuff he made up on his own, and he didn't.
So
we know he pays attention to what's going on with, you know, other radio shows, things like that.
So maybe he's listening to this, and we'd love to get him on the show.
Yeah, if you want to be on the show, buddy, we should really call up Leo and ask if we can get Kevin's number.
He's not on the show. He's not on the network anymore, isn't he?
No, but I'm sure he knows Kevin's number.
He'll hit him up for us, yo.
I should hit him up for that.
We'll I would love to get Leo Laporte on the show, though. He's actually, I actually do like that guy.
Well, maybe I'll call him later today. I'll give you the phone later after the show.
Don't you have his phone number?
Yeah, I've got his phone number.
No, seriously, you do.
Yeah.
And tell us how you got that. Keep it short, but it's a cool story. Go ahead.
I was at a friend's house, but we're watching Screensavers. And Leo held up his PDA, which, of course, pocket PCs have your phone number and stuff on it. And he quickly jerked it down. He's like, oh, no, you know, we're going TiVo that or something like that. And I was thinking, that'd be really cool to TiVo. And everybody's like, yeah, I got a TiVo. And we got it. And, like, call it. And you can get his voicemail.
Let's
he never answers my calls.
Let's do that for the next episode. Call him up.
Okay.
Okay. We'll do that next episode. Also, got the Shirley Q of the week. So, take it, Shirley.
Girl, how you doing? This is Mrs. Shirley Q. Licker. Well, honey, the other day, my little 9-year-old boy, Acidophilus, came up to me talking about, Mama, he said, what do we have to be thankful for on Thanksgiving? I said, what you talking about, Acidophilus? And he said, well, they call it Thanksgiving. He said, but what do we have to be thankful for? And I say, child, Hadn't you been paying attention? See, that's the problem with the children today. They be out there hanging with their homies, and they don't be up on their currents and their events and things like us more intelligent older folks is. So anyway, I told him, I said, Acidopolis, this Thanksgiving, I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that that cute little old Will Smith did another rap record. I'm thankful that they done increased the strength of that Rogaine hair growing product, honey. And I is thankful that President Clifford and his wife Hillary Clifford Rodman have not gone to prison yet, honey. But most of all, Acidophilus, I is thankful that Swanson makes a really nice frozen turkey TV dinner so your mama don't have to cook on Thanksgiving. No, that's right, honey. Ooh, look, tell your mama and them I asked them how she doing. And look, if they got any leftovers, ask her if she mind dropping them by over here later. Bye, honey.
Okay, thanks, Shirley.
And I'm not going to laugh this time.
You're going to get that fake laugh going. Go ahead. And we should have some canned laughter for that.
We should get some canned laughter.
And also...
Oh, compressed air. Squeeze it.
We're also going to... new changes coming to the show. As we're really seriously thinking about doing the show live. And next,
this might
be coming in a month or two, but we're getting situated where we're going to be a set time everywhere. We do a live show, and we'll have some call-ins.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting set up for that right now. You know, so it won't change every week. And get a specific time, so we get everything set up and everything. And you'll call in after the show is done, and we'll tell us topics you want to talk about or whatever, and we could put you down and hang up on you if you say things we don't like.
Excellent.
Anyway, some other things coming up new that we're working on. And we have our email addresses. I'm obfuscated@infonomicon.org. And you are?
Droops@infonomicon.org.
And our closing music tonight is going to be by a band called Crisis. The song's called Kingdom's End off the album The Hollowing. Yeah, The Hollowing. And until next week.
I've been Droops.
I've been Obfuscated, and we're Mickey Finn.